a logo appears in bold slanting letters over a greenish-blue planet in space. Turner. Words appear. This picture approved by the Production Code Administration of the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Included in one corner is an NRA logo depicting an eagle. Now, an old chest sits on a windswept beach. Next to it, a sword is thrust into the sand through a skeleton. Words appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Wallace Beery as Long John Silver and Jackie Cooper as Jim Hawkins in Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. With Lionel Barrymore as Billy Bones, Otto Kruger as Dr. Livesey, Lewis Stone as Captain Smollett, Nigel Bruce as Squire Trelawney, Charles Chick Sale as Ben Gunn, directed by Victor Fleming, screenplay by John Lee Mahon, musical score by Herbert Stothard, produced by Hunt Stromberg, copyright 1934. More titles, William B. Mong as Pew, Charles McNaughton as Black Dog, Dorothy Peterson as Mrs. Hawkins. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Christopher Flowers and Dutch Priest. Read by Pat Lentz. A wooden sign of a man with a spyglass reads, Admiral Benbow Inn. Now, dark clouds hang over a coastline. A winding road leads up to the inn, which overlooks the sea. In the courtyard, several dozen people enjoy an outdoor party. Men dressed in waistcoats and breeches prance in a circle next to a line of dancing women. Now, an older gentleman fills a silvery tankard from a cask and offers it to a smiling woman.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Hawkins, ma'am. Younger every year.
Oh, none of your frippery, John Harrell. Music and friends do make you feel...
A little girl runs over.
Where's Jim?
He's in the kitchen, I think.
Just put a head on that.
The little girl runs inside where a blonde boy pulls a cake out of the inn's oven.
It's going to thunder and lightning.
Then you best go lock yourself up in a closet.
He flips the cake onto a wooden cutting board.
Oh, you made that cake?
No, I didn't, and I thank you not to say I did.
Jim Hawkins made a cake! Jim Hawkins made a cake!
No, I didn't. Only girls make cakes. My mother made this cake herself.
Setting down his apron, Jim carries the cake on the board.
So she had to have a cake for her birthday.
The cake slides off. Jim tries to stick the two cake pieces back together with a wet finger.
Stop following me around. Upon my soul.
Outside, Jim presents the cake to his mother.
Why, Jim, you didn't go and bake it.
Hey, here's the cake you made, Mother. I trust it's good.
It's the best cake ever.
I raise the mug to Jim Hawkins, proprietor of the Admiral Benbow.
Party guests lift their mugs and help Jim up onto a stool.
Well, I don't know what to say, but ever since Father died and with Mother having to do all the work, I'm truly glad each time she gets older. I mean, then I get older, too. And soon I'll be able to do all the work and won't have to make speeches.
As Jim hugs his mother, a strong wind blows through the courtyard.
Here she comes.
Everybody to the tap room. We'll cut the cake in there. Everybody take a seat. Oh, Jim, there go the shutters. Go up and close them, will you?
At your service, ma'am.
Jim hands his mother a cake knife and races upstairs. Now, Jim enters a guest room and starts fastening the windows as they flip in the wind. The little girl follows and stands behind Jim. Jim turns and finds her.
Now what?
I'm scared. Aren't you scared?
No, I'm not.
He brushes past her to another window and recoils as lightning flashes.
It's girls that make me nervous. Why don't you go downstairs where there's more room to be scared in?
As he closes two more flapping windows, Jim notices a cloaked man outside limping through the rain. Behind him, a servant pushes a large chest in a wheelbarrow. The blonde-haired Jim squints through the rain, watching the men trudge toward the inn. Water drips off the points of their tricorn hats. Now, downstairs in the tap room, all the guests look toward the door. Jim's mother answers it. The cloaked man scans the room, then enters, his wet hat slightly askew. The guests avoid his gaze, returning to their cake. The little girl stares at the grizzled man, then ducks under the table. The cloaked man raises a ragged handkerchief to his nose.
I want a bunk with a sea view.
This way, sir.
He motions for the servant to carry the chest in. Jim watches the group head upstairs.
Hey!
Jim flinches.
I want a noggin of rum.
Yes, sir.
Jim nods. In the guest room, the servant sets down the chest.
Mind you, Claude. Have an eye to that chest. Yes. You never made this voyage, you understand? You never seen me and you don't know nothing. Get out.
The cloaked man flips a coin into the servant's hat, then grabs the rum from Jim and gulps it. He shoves the empty mug back into Jim's hand, then moves to the window, peering out with a spyglass.
What are you looking for?
Strangers, sonny. Strangers. I don't like strangers coming aboard me sudden-like. Makes my spine jump like a porpoise, it does. What might your name be?
Jim Hawkins.
Now look here, Jim. You and me is going to be mates.
He pulls out a coin.
You'll get a silver fourpenny bit every month if you watches out for strangers and comes and lets the old captain know when they tops the horizon.
What manner of strangers?
Seafaring men.
Jim pockets the coin as the old captain moves to a window.
All seafaring men?
No, son. There's a special cut of the jib to these seafaring men. But most especially, I want you to keep your eye open for a seafaring man with one leg.
A seafaring man with one leg?
Aye.
Upon my word, sir, what shall I tell them? What do they want?
Yeah, never you mind what they want. You go on down below and get me a noggin of rum. A double noggin, Jim, because I'm becalmed. Becalmed on a sea of troubles, and I got to fill my sails again.
Now, yes. Jim fills a mug.
Who is it, Jim? What did he say?
I don't know. Something about seafaring men with no ears and no legs and no...
Jim spots the captain descending the stairs and brings over his mug.
Hey, drop anchor, lady. We'll fill the cask where you lie.
The captain downs his rum as the guests watch him nervously.
Rum for all hands, say I.
Jim fills more mugs.
Here's a new port all full of pretty wenches and strong young buckles. Clear the decks for pleasant action. Fill a pretty belly with grog, and that's what makes the world spin on its poles, say I.
A portly man and an elderly woman stand.
Hey, Billy, there. Rum.
I'm not much on strong liquor, sir. Besides, we have to go now. It's getting...
Go, say! You stay.
He slaps his cutlass on the table.
You stay. Sit yourselves down on your binnacle.
The couple sits.
Jim, matey, rum. I ain't like all seafaring men. Genteel I am, and a dove at heart, mates. Why, I know some seafaring men. Them as boarded a Spanish brig, all loaded down with Castilian dons and their beauteous ladies. And what did they do? Genteel like me, you thinks? No. They slices them dons like bread loaves and feeds them to the sharks. And what do they do to the beauteous ladies? Why, after courting of their favor, as it were, saving your presence, matey, they slits the veins of their pearly white arms and uses their blue blood to warm their rum.
The captain turns to Jim.
And then what do they do, matey?
Bless my soul, sir. What else was left?
There was the song, Jim. Singing by all hands. 15 men on a dead man's chest, yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Now come on, we'll all tip the stage. Come on! 15 men.
Wielding his cutlass, the captain directs the crowd. Chest.
Come on, sing!
Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink
The captain pounds his cutlass on the table. The elderly woman jumps. A well-dressed gentleman enters, shaking rain from his coat. Smiling, he waves a riding crop and approaches Mrs. Hawkins. The captain notices the gentleman and stops conducting.
Dr. Livesey.
Mrs. Hawkins.
It was Mother's birthday and we were just having a little entertainment, Doctor.
Well, my compliments, Mrs. Hawkins. Little brandy, Jim.
My pleasure, sir.
Come on, mates. Now we'll tip it again.
15. Dr. Livesey sits with Mrs. Hawkins.
I thought sure we were in for a storm, but it seems...
Hey, silence between decks.
You addressing me, sir?
Is it blowing a gale of wind? You can't hear me? What did I say?
I've only this to say, sir. I don't know you. But by your look, if you continue drinking rum, the world will soon be rid of a very dirty scoundrel.
Cutlass raised, the captain approaches the doctor.
It's your double, you...
You do not lower that cutlass this instant. I promise on my honor that you shall hang at the next assizes.
The captain slowly lowers his cutlass. As he shuffles back to the table, Dr. Livesey stands and follows him.
Furthermore, sir, I'm not only a doctor, I'm magistrate here. And if I catch another breath of complaint against you, if only for a piece of incivility like this, I'll have you routed out of here. Let that suffice?
I ask your patience, sir. Just a squall from a poor old sailor man who took too much rum over his bowsprit. I ask your pardon.
The captain tips his hand against his head and heads upstairs.
Now don't worry, Mrs. Hawkins, don't worry.
As the guests file out, Livesey wipes his brow. Whew.
Praise be, Jim, the man was only full of talk.
But bless my soul, sir. He certainly can't sing.
Now the captain stands on a cliff under a tree and scans the ocean with his spyglass. White caps break on the water below. He cautiously looks back over his shoulder, then returns to his vigil. Back at the inn, Jim wipes and puts away metal dishes.
16 men on a dead man's chest. 16, 18, 21 men.
A stranger peeks in the window, looks around, then moves to the door.
And the devil had done for the rest.
Jim removes his apron and hurries to the door.
Well, Sally?
The stranger tips his hat with a two-fingered hand. As he moves inside to a table, the end of a scabbard shows beneath his waistcoat.
Come here, Sally, a little closer. Here. Now, is this here table for my mate Bill?
I don't know your mate Bill.
But don't Bill live here?
No, nobody but the captain.
Oh, captain it is.
Truly, sir, I can...
Here comes my old mate Bill now. Bless his heart, to be sure.
The stranger grabs Jim by the wrist. They hide behind the door as the captain enters.
Jim, lad, the rum. I'm becalmed again.
He sees the stranger and jumps back.
Come, Bill. You know me. You know an old shipmate, surely.
Black Dog.
Black Dog as ever was. Comfort to see his old shipmate, Billy.
Well, speak up.
A porter, Sammy. Porter.
Black Dog sends Jim off, then sits at the table. Captain Billy takes his seat warily.
Well...
I've been off to you now.
Jim watches intently, pouring beer from a keg.
Oh, let's let it into it. If it comes to swinging, swing one, swing all.
As Jim carries over a foaming mug, Billy draws his cutlass on Black Dog, who scrambles away. Billy's cutlass strikes the chair. He chases Black Dog out the front door. Swinging his sword, Billy cuts off a chunk of the inn's overhead sign.
Next time I'll sever your gauntlet.
Humor him, Jim. I'll be back shortly.
Where you going?
To Mr. Doolittle's. I'm going to get him to ride to Dr. Livesey so he and his constables can come and get that man out of here at once.
Captain Billy returns and closes the door. He motions for Jim.
Rum, Jim. Rum.
Are you hurt?
I got to get away from here, Jim. I got to slip my horses.
Captain, you've been drinking too much. Remember, the doctor said...
Doctors is all swabs. I've lived on rum, I tell you. It's been meat and drink to me. Man and wife, and I need rum now, Jim.
He searches behind the bar.
Mother walked up all the rum. She said...
I got to have it, Jim. I got to have it. Look, see how my fingers fidges. I can't stop it, Jim. I got to have a drain of rum. If I don't, I'll have the horrors. And then I'll see Flint there behind you in the corner just as plain as print.
Well, is Flint the one-legged man?
No, but he'll be there, too. Both of them will be there if you don't get me the rum. Oh, go on, quick, before they come in and slips me the black spot.
Well, what's the black spot?
It's a summons, Jim. A summons.
Do they want to kill you?
No, it's my sea chest they're after.
What's in the sea chest?
Pieces of eight. Pearls as big as ostrich eggs. All the gold your heart can desire. And just for a little noggin of rum, Jim.
Would a half a noggin do?
Billy pats the boy on the cheek, then hands him an empty mug.
There we go, lad.
Wait here, I'll see.
Jim runs out as Billy grabs his handkerchief. Outside, Jim heads around the building. Jim spots a bedraggled man wearing a rag over his eyes and holding out a cane.
Will any kind friend inform a poor blind man who has lost the precious sight of his eyes in the gracious defense of his native country, England? And God bless King George, where in whatever part of this country he may now be.
You're at the Admiral Benbow, Black Hill Cove, sir.
The figure grins, showing one tooth.
I hear a voice. A young voice. Will you not take my hand, me kind young friend, and lead me in?
The figure extends an arm.
Certainly, sir.
The figure grabs Jim's arm.
No, boy. Take me to the captain.
Well, no, sir. Upon my word, I dare not.
Take me in straight, or I'll break your arm.
Oh, it is for yourself, I mean. He has his cutlass. Another gentleman...
Come now, march.
Yes, sir.
Jim leads the man inside. Billy sits at the table and turns to the door, smiling. His mouth drops open.
Aye, Bill. Your old friend, Pew. Now sit where you are, Bill. A gentlemanly like. I can't see, but I can hear even a finger stirring. Business is business. All right, up to him.
Jim leads Pew up to Billy's chair and places his hand on the captain's chest.
Aye, Bill. Now, boy. Take his hand and bring it close to mine.
Jim lifts Billy's hand and Pew crunches a scrap of paper into it.
There! That's done! That's done!
Pew makes his way back out through the front door. Jim and Billy stare at the captain's fist. Billy opens his hand and studies the square of paper. One side has a black spot on it. The other reads, "You have till 10 tonight." Billy looks to the clock, which shows 4 minutes shy of 10.
We'll do him yet!
The captain stumbles to the staircase and heads up.
Now, Doubloon, I fought and bled for it. It's mine, every farthing of it. It's mine! I'll swing on execution dock.
Billy convulses and tumbles down the stairs, landing at Jim's feet. Jim's mother enters.
Jim, what's happened?
They crouch next to him, and Jim opens the scrap of paper.
Dead.
You have till 10 tonight.
Black spot.
Jim stares wide-eyed at the door. He rushes over and slides the bolt, locking it.
And they'll be back again, too.
Who will be?
The men that wanted to kill the captain. They want all the treasure in his chest upstairs.
Let's get out of here.
No, Mother. The captain owes us money. We'll go get what he owes us first. They can't take that.
Jim, I'm so frightened.
I'll see no harm comes to you, Mother. I'm not afraid.
Jim pulls a knife from the captain's belt. He finds a cord around the man's neck. Jim cuts it, freeing a 6-inch iron key.
Jim,
come on, Mother. Gee, he says there's gold and silver and pearls as big as ostriches.
Now, in the captain's room, Jim unlocks the chest. Jim's mother follows with a candlestick.
We'll show them we're honest. Take what is our due and not a farthing over.
Jim lifts away some clothes, revealing the sailor's odds and ends.
Why, there's nothing there at all.
Jim's mother spots a pouch.
Some coins, though.
Now, Pew and four other men sneak up to the inn. Back inside, Jim takes a wrapped package from the chest bottom.
Open the door! I know it's
it. Hear something?
Jim's mother drops the pouch. As Pew's men ram the front door with a log, Jim follows his mother down the stairs and out the back door.
In.
Now inside, a cutthroat holding a lantern breaks a first-story window and looks out to Pew.
Neil's dead?
Well, searching for me, a brass-brained lover!
Escaping, Jim and his mother hesitate. Jim's mother swoons, pulling him to the ground.
I've been here before. Someone's turned out the chest and lowered the lock.
Is it there?
It's the money.
Ah, money, you squint. Link's fist. Link's fist, you below.
Watching from the bushes, Jim quiets his mother.
It's that whining, sneaking brat. I should have torn his arm off. I should have put his eyes out.
Crouching behind a fence, Jim swallows hard. The man with the lantern notices a coach racing up the road.
Right up the butt, mate.
In the coach, Livesey leans out the window to the driver.
Give him the whip.
Now, Pew stands alone in front of the inn.
Blackdog! Wallace! You wouldn't leave old Pew, would you, Mitch?
As the horses knock Pew down, the coach's wheels roll over the old man's chest, crushing him. Livesey and his men step out of the coach.
After the boys. Call the tickets.
Jim!
The doctor looks through the inn's broken doorway.
Jim!
He then crouches next to Pew.
Mrs. Hawkins!
Here we are, Dr. Livesey. Here we are.
Oh, dearie me, dearie me.
Who were they?
Some men, they wanted to kill the captain, but he dropped dead just like you said he would.
Well, what did they say?
Well, they wanted something up in his chest upstairs. Flint's fist or something, I don't know. This is all I took. Do you suppose that could be anything?
Flint's fist? Well, there's only one Flint. I know that.
Livesey opens Jim's package and unfolds a large piece of parchment.
Why, it's only a map. What are those funny red crosses there?
Bulk of treasure. Bless my...
Quickly, into the coach, both of you. Vance, back here at once.
Well, where are we going, Doctor?
The Squire Trelawney's. Jim, my boy, you may have stumbled on the secret of the century.
Now with the Squire.
It's it, I tell you, did you hear me?
Squire Trelawney, are you sure?
Sure? The actual chart of Flint's treasure. The very island it's buried on. Latitude, longitude. Jim, now look here. The very blockhouse and stockade where the infamous pirate held off attack.
Squire, you get so confoundedly overheated. What do you propose to do?
Why, bless me for a fat mole. We'll dig it up. Won't we, Jim? Won't we, young Hawkins?
I've my own shovel, sir.
Shovel. You'll have more than that. You'll be the richest lad in England. In the whole world.
But, Squire, a moment now. We'll need a ship. We'll need a crew.
Tomorrow I leave for Bristol. In 2 weeks from today, I'll have the finest ship and the choicest crew in England.
Those cutthroats who attacked tonight have shown us that they'll stop at nothing to get this chart. Others too, perhaps. We must proceed with absolute secrecy.
Exactly, sir. Exactly. Sphinxes all. You hear that, Jim? Sphinxes all.
There's just one man I'm afraid of.
And who's that, sir? Who's that? Name the dog.
You, sir, or you cannot hold your tongue.
I? Why, doctor, blast me, I...
Livesey smiles.
Livesey, you're always in the right of it. I'll be as silent as the grave.
Now, at the port city, several tall-masted ships are docked. A driver lifts his trumpet as his carriage heads to the dock. Jim exits the coach, and the squire raises a walking stick in greeting.
How are you, my boy?
The wonder is right, sir. Was our ship be all ready to sail?
No, not for several days. Dr. Livesey won't be here till Saturday. Ah, Hunter.
Where's our ship, sir?
Ship? There she lies. The good ship is Penny Olin, and a tighter craft never sailed the seven seas.
Bless my soul, sir.
Jim races to the ship's plank. On board, Jim runs over to a cannon.
All right, now. Give him another broadside, all together. One, two.
Through the cannon's firing hole, Jim spots a one-legged man with a crutch. The man smiles at Jim from the dock.
Well, sonny, was you aiming to blow the other leg off?
I don't think it's loaded.
Well, you ought to be certain.
You be the captain of that ship now, beans you.
The squire approaches.
Come on, Jim, I'll show you to you.
He wants to know if I was captain.
My captain, my man, is on his way from Dover. Is there anything I can do?
No, thank you, sir. Just an old sailor hobbled on to get a smell of the salt air and cast his eyes on a trim craft, the likes of which you sure have got here.
Yes, I think I have a good eye for a ship.
Do you mind if I just come aboard, please? Just for a spell.
Yes, you're welcome, my man. Of course.
Squire, sure.
This way.
Jim taps the squire as he moves to greet the one-legged man. The stranger hobbles across the plank on his T-shaped crutch.
Silver's the name.
He salutes.
Long John Silver, they calls me. At your service, sir.
Mr. Silver, sir. Trelawney's my name. Squire Trelawney. And this is our cabin boy, Jim Hawkins.
Silver gives him a sharp salute.
My matey, smartest paint I'll warn, huh?
Smart enough to see you've only one leg, sir.
Jim boy.
Yes.
You're pretty smart, Jim. So is that French gunner who touched off the ball that blew that old leg of mine overboard.
You served in the Navy, my man?
Aye, aye, sir, under Admiral Hawk off Biscay.
Under the immortal Hawk?
Aye, aye, sir.
Are there many one-legged seafaring men?
Why, the country's full of them, matey. Just like storks on a roof.
Truly, Mr. Silver, I'm sorry for my bluntness.
Here, matey, you try this out.
Silver yanks hard on both ends of a knotted rope. The knot vanishes. He hands the rope to Jim and hops away, looking skyward into the ship's rigging. The squire follows.
Of course, you realize we can only sign on able-bodied men.
Oh, bless me, sir. I didn't think when I came hobbling down here that you'd have any use for this timber leg in me.
Silver puts a hand to his chest as he coughs.
Now, you don't happen to have a cook on board, do you?
Cook? Why, no, not yet.
Well, squire, I own a little sailor's tavern up here, and I can make salt pork taste just like roast pheasant.
Why, damn it, Silver, if you want the berth, you're hereby made ship's cook.
Oh.
Silver, this port is full of the most unreliable men. Of the dozen or so that I signed on, eight have never come back. Disappeared entirely.
Oh, no. Now, ain't that a shame? I wonder what could have happened to them.
Leaning his chin on the crutch, Silver spits.
Shiftless idiots!
How many men might you be needing, squire?
I should like a round score of stout fellows in case of savages or buccaneers.
Oh, now you be scared of pirates, huh?
Well, Silver, one never knows.
Not presuming, sir, but I know every able-bodied seafaring man in the town of Bristol. What say you that I fetch a flock of them right down here to you?
Fetch them down, Silver. Why, strike me pink. We may get Smollett's entire crew for him and be able to sail sooner. Eh, Jim?
aye, sir. With your eye for seamen, sir. Here, matey.
Silver takes Jim's newly made knot and yanks it out.
There you are.
Jim smiles, then turns to the squire.
Well, sir, me and that go with Mr. Silver.
Oh, Jim,
oh,
I...
No, there's a lot to be done.
Oh, but John wants to go.
Oh, now, take the boy along, Silver. Take him along. Show him the port, the ships. Start his education for him.
All right. Come on, matey. Come on.
Later in the city.
That's the way it be, matey. That's the way it be.
Well, then you surely would have been a captain if you hadn't lost your leg.
Up ahead, a sign reads, Ye Spyglass Inn, John Silver, proprietor. Three men throw another out.
Oh, yes. I'd be captain, matey.
Silver grabs a display of metal whistles from a storefront.
Help yourself to a bosun's pipe.
Oh. Jim takes one, and Silver hands the display to a storekeep and pays for the pipe.
Let me show you how to blow it.
The men from the inn look up. Silver motions discreetly to them, pointing at Jim.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Silver.
Now you blow it.
The men run inside the rowdy pub. Everyone hurries to take their seats. One man hides a sword down his pants. Another sits down to play a cittern.
gather ye rosebuds while ye may. All time is still.
This is my little inn, Jim, as I keep for sailors as ain't appreciated.
Silver hobbles in and addresses the room.
Mateys! This is Jim Hawkins, ship's boy off the Hispaniola.
The dirty men tip their hats.
Hey, lad.
You might be glad to know that I've been made ship's cook.
Winking slyly at the men, Silver pats Jim's shoulder.
Just friends, Jim. All happy to know that old John's going to get his health back.
They wouldn't be needing any other hands, would they, John?
Them as is worthy, George. I've just been yarning with the ship's owner. Maybe I can convince him of your high qualities, them as has them.
As George and the others cheer, Silver walks Jim over to the cittern player.
Now, this here is Dandy Dawson. A gentleman is Dandy. Took to the sea for the love of it, he says. Wouldn't harm a cockroach.
He doffs his hat, a knife's hidden inside.
My pleasure, Mr. Dawson.
And this is William O'Brien. Now, William is a lay reader in the churches, William. Lost his ear defending a woman, a maid in Santiago that he had taken unto his heart, as it were.
As it were, sonny.
Bless my soul.
And matey, this is Israel Hands. Ugly Israel, we calls him. But as honest a man as you'll find in the room, Jim.
As he bows, his sword rips through his pants.
My pleasure, Mr. Hands.
You're coming a fair breeze, Master Hawkins.
Black Dog enters.
Where's John?
Jim and Black Dog lock eyes.
Stop him! Stop him!
As Black Dog flees, Jim starts after him. Silver grabs Jim by the collar.
It's Black Dog!
Who? Black Dog? Who? What's he done?
One of the buccaneers.
A buccaneer? Not one of the pirates that Squire Trelawney was telling us about.
Yes, he ought to be caught.
Now, have any of you ever seen the likes of him before?
No, John.
He ain't a friend of anybody in here, be he?
No.
That's good. That's good for all of you. If I ever catch any of you running alongside the lights of that way, I'll...
Silver's eyes shift to Jim as he scowls.
A scurvy pirate in my inn.
Silver nods at Jim.
You wait here, matey. I'll run and get me sea bag and me bird, and we'll go right up and tell the squire about this.
Jim nods and Silver hobbles off.
Slimy.
Dandy
pirate.
Eyes Jim's shoes.
Those are pretty boots, Master Hawkins.
Yes, my mother gave them to me before I left.
Dandy compares their feet.
And the same size our foot is. Alike as two sister craft.
Yes.
I'm fond of pretty things. I am.
Yes.
Silver returns with a bird on his shoulder.
Oh, a parrot!
Yes, matey. If any of you wants a voyage, you go right down to the Hispaniola.
He winks slyly.
She's lying in Wolf's Wharf.
Silver and Jim exit to the street.
That's a
boy or a girl, Harry?
No, Jim, a girl, and usually a well-mannered little wench, too,
pieces
says
of eight,
I.
Pieces of eight! Upon my word, she's a good talker.
Well, I wouldn't say good, Jim, but powerful.
What's her name?
Captain Flint, I calls her. Here, matey, you take her for a spell.
Jim holds out a finger and moves the bird to his shoulder.
She likes you, Jim.
But does she bite?
No. Nary a nibble.
I thought most parrots liked to bite.
Not this one. She's a love bird, matey. You know, I've been thinking about the squire, matey.
Yes, Mr. Silver.
You just call me Long John.
Yes.
You know, I don't think that we ought to tell him about that Black Dog now, do you?
Why not?
Well, the squire's very excitable and he's got a lot on his mind now, ain't he?
Oh, yes.
Well, now, we didn't catch Black Dog and there's nothing can be done about it, is there?
Why, no, but...
Well, now there's Admiral Hawke. I remember in a battle off of Lisbon, why, a young lieutenant tells him something without using his judgment, and you know what happened? Why, that admiral fell in a fit and pink foam oozed out of his ears for 42 days.
Out of his... all that time?
Yes, sirree. Just like two spigots out of a barrel of ale. So, just for the peace of the mind of the squire, why, we won't tell him, huh?
I believe you're right, Lord.
Maybe you're just smart as paint. Why, you and me's gonna get along just fine in my galley.
The parrot bites at Jim's hat and he swats it.
Bite me!
Now, ain't that too bad? Well, matey, I guess she ain't used to you. She's a little bit jealous, yeah.
Silver puts the parrot back on his shoulder.
I guess you don't want to leave old Long John alone, do you?
Silver covers his ear as the parrot flaps wildly. He frowns at the bird, then grins at Jim.
Just a little kiss, matey.
Yes.
You clam brain.
Now, the squire's three-masted English galleon floats at the docks with its sails tied up. On board, eight men rotate an anchor's capstan. In the ship's galley, Silver sets goblets on a tray as Jim enters.
You're always happy like that when they leave the port.
A good crew, Jim. You know, if this voyage were a rainbow and there was a pot of gold at the other end, they couldn't be any happier.
I'm glad you like Dr. Livesey.
Now, he's a pretty smart man, Jim.
He's not a sailor, of course, but he can cut you open and sew you up again.
Well, that sewing up must be pretty difficult.
So's the cutting up part.
Well, experience, Jim.
I couldn't do it.
Oh, no, neither could I.
Silver empties a frying pan into a bowl.
I'd swoon like a lady of quality, I would. I guess I'm kind of sensitive, like, to the squire with my compliments, Jim.
He hands Jim the tray with the bowl and goblets. As Jim exits, Silver shakes the frying pan at the laughing parrot. Now in the captain's cabin.
Mulled wine, sir, with Long John's compliments.
And Silver forgets nothing. Along with me, he's going to be certain that this is a voyage that we shall all remember.
Long John's a wonderful man, sir.
Livesey, I give you... Yes, yes.
A gentleman
yes.
Enters.
Captain Smollett. Oh, well, I trust everything's ship-shape and seaworthy.
I may as well speak plain, gentlemen, at the risk of offense. I don't like this voyage. That's short and sweet.
Pray explain yourself, sir.
I was signed on under sealed orders to sail this ship wherever you should bid me. But I've about arrived at the conclusion that every hand before the mast knows more about the voyage than I do. I don't call that fair. Do you?
Certainly not. What do the men know?
That we're going after treasure.
But
mind you, I've heard it whispered on all sides. So is my officer, Mr. Arrow.
Livesey, I never uttered a word. It must be either you or the boy here.
Oh, upon my word, sir, I never...
Mm-hmm. So treasure it is, I see.
You mean you don't trust the crew?
Oh, some of them may be honest.
British naval heroes, all of them.
Yes, and when there's treasure in the hold, there's fire in the forecastle. So I'm taking certain precautions before we sail. And by your leave, I'd ask you gentlemen to help me. Lay forward on the quarterdeck.
On deck, Captain Smollett watches a crewman break off knife tips with a hammer.
2 inches off those points, bosun.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Captain, sir, what are we to make of this? Why, me and Dick and Alan?
I never had me knife broke afore, Captain.
It's a habit of mine on long voyages. Sometimes hands get restless.
Captain's right, Jim. Honest hands never object to having their knives tipped.
Two sailors exchange a wary glance.
Bosun? Take the larboard watch. Have all the powder moved out of this forehold back in under the after cabin.
Aye, sir. Larboard watch. Bring me out to the forehold.
Aye, sir.
Captain, that means that I'll have to move all my provision. I stored them aft specially so the vegetables wouldn't get mildew.
My orders, man. You get to your galley. The hands will want the dinner.
Silver aye, salutes. Sir. The captain spots Jim with two officers, Hunter and Redruth.
Why do you men stand here? Do what you're told.
Yes, sir.
A fat man walks over with the squire and Livesey.
Well, no sign of arms, sir. You gentlemen are determined to make this cruise, I take it.
Like iron, sir.
Weigh anchor, Mr. Arrow.
Aye, aye, sir.
Silver calls to Jim from the galley window.
What's to do?
Well, the captain ordered us to move our bunks aft.
With the gentlemen, huh? That's fine, Jim.
Oh, but I'd rather be forward with you.
Well, how's this? Supposing I ask the captain to change bunks with me, that is after we settles down to sail.
Here you ship's boy, get along with that. I'll have no favorites aboard my ship.
The squire and Livesey watch.
One honest man aboard, it's Captain Smollett.
honest if you will, but an intolerable humbug. I consider his conduct unmanly, unsailorly, and downright un-English, sir.
Back in the galley.
Bless my soul! Why does the captain have to bellow at me?
Captain's ways, Jim. Captain's ways. Now I wonder what could have thrown the captain into such a sudden squall, matey.
Oh, well, he wanted it.
Jim gazes downward.
I don't know. I wish you were the captain of this ship, Long John. I wager you could handle this boat better than he could.
No, matey, the captain's a man of wisdom. A lot of brains.
Silver sets a cabbage on the counter.
Too bad an uneducated seaman can't open his head and see just what he's got in it.
He splits the cabbage with a cleaver. Jim points outside.
We're moving! Yay!
Well, Mr. Arrow. She's breaking clear! All the head yards around. Set the jibs.
As crewmen pull thick ropes, the sail's yard arms move through the sky. More crewmen raise the jib sails.
All right. Set the topsail.
As men hoist the topsail, the fabric fans out, catching wind. Captain Smollett surveys as the white sails billow. The topsails on each towering mast unfold as crewmen continue pulling line on deck. An English flag is hoisted up past men high in the rigging. As the Hispaniola sets sail, its elegantly carved name plaque comes into view on the stern. Against the side of the ship, a crewman ties down the anchor as the waves splash against the hull. Now the ship moves through the water under the power of the fully deployed sails. Men in the high rigging and along the yardarms are dwarfed by the ship's white sails. Now, a map shows England's coast with a tiny circle marked Bristol. A compass appears over the sea chart as our view moves southwest over the map. The map fades to the distant Hispaniola, moving through the ocean over gentle white-capped waves. Now, on deck, Dandy places Sittern next to four of Silver's men who play cards.
The anchor is weighed and the sails, they are set. Goodbye, fare you well. Goodbye, fare you well. The girls we are leaving, we'll never forget.
Nearby, George cleans his fingernails with a knife.
Billy, that canary piping, and tip us a man's stave.
Long John likes it.
Then I likes rum, I does. Low for a mouthful.
Hunter walks by Israel.
He's serving rum aft.
Squire likes the spirits of an evening.
And he likes Valencian lace around his throat, he does. I'm partial to Valencian lace myself. A tender spot, the throat.
At the wheel.
Starboard of it, matey. She's luffing.
Jim steers the ship's 4-foot wheel, then looks into the water behind the ship. A shark speeds along the surface. The wheel begins spinning and Silver stops it.
She almost got away from me that time.
I was looking at old Nicodemus.
He follows us until he gets what he's after.
Well, we've given him plenty of potato peelings.
That won't do for old Nicodemus. He's used to following slave ships.
Bless me, the ocean's full of death, but it's cured your lungs, hasn't it, Long John?
Lungs, matey?
Yes, you've not coughed in a long time.
Silver pats his chest theatrically.
Yeah. They're much better. More shipshape now.
What are you going to do after this voyage?
I'll go back to that little roof, I reckon.
Well, would you like to come and live with me?
With you, matey?
Yes. You see, I'll have a lot more money and... Well, I mean, there's only Mother and me. And we've a nice room with a sea view and sea air coming in from three sides, and you could always be...
No, matey, I couldn't. I just...
Anyhow, you can come and visit us. We'll always be mates, won't we?
Certain we will.
Long John spits.
Certain we will.
Jim puckers.
No, matey, never spit to windward. It'll end back on you. Always spit to the leeward.
He spits again to port.
It sails like a gull.
Jim puckers again and spits. Silver flinches, then wipes his eye.
That's right, matey.
As they continue to steer the ship, Mr. Arrow stumbles across the deck.
Look, Mr. Arrow's drunk again.
Hmm. captain's got the key to the grog, Jim.
Smollett grabs Arrow by the collar.
Where'd you get it?
Just see. Sick.
Sick? You're drunk.
Why, sir, I haven't had a drink.
You're drunk. If it occurs again, you lie in the brig. Where'd you get the rum?
Why, sir, I haven't had a drink.
You get below before I cane you.
Smollett turns to the wheel.
Here, you two. Silver, what are you doing here in the poop? Bosun, take this wheel.
Aye, aye.
Captain, for the lad's sake, Mr. Arrow says...
The blazes with Mr. Arrow. You get forward where you belong.
Aye, aye, sir. Aye, sir.
Later, Mr. Arrow stumbles into the galley. Silver turns to him.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Arrow, sir. How's for a cup of tea this morning?
Silver wipes flour off a rum bottle.
A powerful lover of tea you are, Mr. Arrow. Yet I hopes I'm the one that serves you your last cup, sir.
Arrow shoves the bottle under his vest. They quickly salute each other as he leaves. Now, the sun sits low in the sky as the Hispaniola sails past. Daytime. A sailor blows a bosun's pipe. The crew gathers before the captain.
Well,
he ain't nowhere off, sir.
He ain't in the forecastle.
Poor Mr. Arrow. And he stopped by me galley only last night, sir, for a breath of fresh air.
Still drunk, you say?
His weakness was still upon him, sir.
Jim looks over the side into the water.
Oh, Nicodemus isn't with us anymore.
Silver innocently shifts his eyes.
Arrow must have lurched overboard.
That settles it.
I'm sorry, sir. This will leave you short-handed, Captain.
I'll have it ended in the log. That's all, men.
Now, Dandy follows a husky crewman.
So why should I join? Join up with what?
But Henry, looky.
Stern of me, you little runt. I don't like you and others of your kind who come aboard this ship.
Watching Henry, Silver rubs his chin.
William, Henry doesn't seem happy aboard this ship.
William looks up, then smiles to Silver. He moves away as Silver checks over his shoulder. Now, William comes up behind Henry as he climbs the rigging. Henry stops.
You won't fall, Henry. I'll be right here below you.
As Henry frowns and resumes climbing, Jim points to the water.
Oh, look. Is that another shot?
A fin splashes in the water.
Oh, no. That's a porpoise. That's a seaman's friend. Look, there's a whole school of them.
They wouldn't eat anybody.
Oh, no, matey. Porpoises off the bow is a good sign. A successful voyage, they say. Why, they comes right out from port and a scorcher right in. I guess nobody knows where we're heading to but the porpoises and the squire. I'll wager.
His eyes shift to Jim.
Ah!
A limp body plummets from the mast. On the deck, the captain pushes through crewmen huddled around Henry's crumpled body. As Jim and Silver approach, William arrives.
Brian, you were aloft with him. How did it happen?
I don't know, sir. A bit choked up, I'd be sorry. Henry was my friend. He swooned-like and fell like a plummet.
Poor Henry. Leastwise, he'll never know what struck him. I'm thankful for that.
Bosun?
Aye, sir.
Prepare this body for burial.
Prepare the body for burial. Land ho! Land ho!
Two men drop Henry's body and rush off with the crew.
Here, here, here! Lives there, it's a reverend, but damn it! Come, sir! Gray!
The captain orders Gray and a remaining crewman to take Henry's body. Jim and Silver look overboard.
There she be!
Where?
Look right there underneath that cloud there.
Jim sees a distant strip of land.
Bless my soul!
Bless everybody's soul, lady.
It's it!
The squire shakes his cane toward the mountainous island on the horizon. The ship sails close to shore and drops anchor. Now, at night, in the captain's cabin, Jim and Livesey's allies study the map. As the doctor eats an apple, the squire points to the document.
Hut seems on the side of a hill.
No, rotten to the core.
The doctor puts his apple down.
Jim, run out to the apple barrel and fetch us some good ones, will you?
My pleasure, sir.
Tomorrow lives it.
Tomorrow! We'll land at dawn, and we'll have the doubloons by sundown!
On deck, Jim slides the lid off a barrel. He peers inside, climbs into the barrel, and starts to gather apples.
You're smart as paint to join up, Dick.
Aye, Dick listened the minute he heard there was treasure.
Don't you know the exact spot it's buried? Now you're here.
Flint saw to that. He left his ship the same place as we were anchored. He took the treasure and six brave lads and went ashore. And when he came back alone. Dead men don't bite nor tell no tales, says he.
Well, I'm with you.
How about the others?
Well, you mean Gray and Allen and... They be stupid souls.
We'll talk to them.
Now, looky, John. Now we're here. How long are we going to stand off and on like a blessed bum boat? When do we strike, John?
The last minute that I can manage, that's when. We could all steer a course for home. But who's to set one? Captain Smollett's a good navigator. He will. He takes the map. Gets the treasure. Brings it aboard. Captain Smollett takes us out into the trade winds. And then one day they all disappear overboard. Result of a very heavy storm at sea.
Like Flint you be, John. And the flower of the flock was Flint.
Hey, Dick, you're a nice lad. Get me an apple out of that barrel to sweeten my pipe with, will you?
Jim ducks as Dick reaches into the barrel.
George Merry and the others is breaking out arms. I told him he was against it.
Why, the fools!
As Silver leads them away, Jim gets to his feet. Below deck, Silver's men lift cutlasses from a barrel.
Aye. This molasses is sweeter than Silver said it would be. Ephraim, look, see if that box of prunes don't turn into powder and ball.
Prying off the lid of a long crate, Israel and the others find flintlock pistols and fat, cinched pouches. Silver hobbles down the stairway and grabs a cutlass from George.
Who smuggled these arms aboard this ship? I did. I'll tell you when to break them out.
And that's the whole awful story, sir. Wish I'd only dreamt it.
The captain and the others stare at Jim.
There's your light-hearted crew for you.
The squire gets to his feet.
Captain Smollett, I own myself an utter ass. I wait your orders.
What beats me is how they've been held in check so remarkably.
With your permission, Captain, that's Silver. A very remarkable man.
Yes, he looked remarkably well swinging from a yardarm, sir.
Jim sobs.
Easy, Jim.
Steady, boy. You may have been the means of saving a lot of us. Don't flounder now.
I'm not afraid.
Let's see. There are seven of us, including young Hawkins here. We were nine.
What's the first move?
Silver's very anxious to conceal everything and hold on. I am anxious to give him the chance. So we'll send the crew ashore alone. And it's my idea they'd be glad to go. They think they'll bark their shins on the treasure. If they all go, we up anchor and run with the ship. If none go, we'll try and hold this cabin. And God defend the right. Redruth, you load and distribute those muskets.
He unlocks a cabinet.
If only a few go ashore. You mark my words, Silver, bring them back. As mild as lamb.
He removes pistols.
Come and get your sidearm, gentlemen.
Come on, Jim. You could spy out a lot more for us.
Exactly, boy. They trust you. Why, you and Silver be great friends.
I know. Well, we were mates and... We were going to hunt goats together. I even asked him to live with me.
Jim pulls the bosun's pipe from his pocket.
He was the best friend I knew. He gave me... I never knew anybody like him before.
He throws the whistle on the floor.
But I know him now.
Jim stomps on it, then spits on it.
Certain I do.
Daytime. At the bow of the ship, men climb down rope ladders to board two small boats. Jim descends a rope and joins the men on one boat. In the other boat, Silver settles back at its stern.
Ship's cook means luck ashore, mates.
Show off, lads.
As the sailors row away from the ship, Livesey and the squire watch from the captain's cabin windows. Smollett enters.
Silver has left six men. One of them might be honest.
At the bow of the lead boat, Jim stares ahead toward land. Silver sees him from the second boat.
Jim! Who told you to come along?
Nobody.
Jim wrings his hands.
Hey, what?
Jim opens his mouth, then looks toward land. Silver glares at him. Now, as Jim's boat reaches shore, the boy leaps to the water and runs onto the beach. He looks over his shoulder at Silver's boat as its crew begins to disembark.
Jim! Come here! Wait for me, matey! Jim! You hear me?
Jim runs into the growth.
Jim!
here.
Now, back aboard the Hispaniola.
Hunter, did Jim go ashore?
Why, yes, sir. I thought it was part of the plan, sir.
Gentlemen, this is bad business.
On the island, Jim looks up to see a parrot in a tree. Walking on, he claps his hands at some birds in his path. As a coconut hits the ground by his feet, Jim looks up and sees a monkey about to throw another one. The second coconut hits him in the shoulder, and the boy steps away from the palm tree. Now, wading across a pond, he sneaks up on two white birds standing on a rock. Jim gapes as a cassowary, a flightless 5-foot-tall bird with a scrawny neck, struts toward the waterhole. Jim turns and runs to dry land. In the shade of some leafy trees, a group of lizards the size of pigs turn Jim in another direction. He wanders past tropical trees and ferns. Stopping to remove his tricorn hat, he wipes his brow. Jim hides as he overhears Silver.
Now, come now, Tom. You haul to and think it over.
What are you telling me, John Silver? I'll not listen to the likes of that.
I'll be off. I don't want my rigging fouled with mutiny. I'm an honest seaman, do you hear?
Yeah, I laid at that. But, Tom, you're smart as paint. Why, I knew that the minute I clapped eyes on you. You ain't going to let honesty stand in the way of being smart, are you?
In heaven's name, what was that?
That? I reckon that be Allen.
So you killed Allen, have you? Well, rest his soul for a true seaman. But kill me if you can. I defy you.
He punches Silver, knocking him down. As Silver flops to the ground, Tom walks off. Silver hurls his crutch at the sailor, striking him in the back. Tom falls. Silver hops on his one leg, knife in hand, and finishes him off.
That's two.
Aboard the ship.
Not Jim. They wouldn't do...
They'll do anything now.
On board, Silver's armed men climb above deck.
Our only chance is to...
Smollett sees them.
Stay below there, you men!
He aims his pistol at them. One man drops, clasping his eyes. The others duck below.
We've got to abandon ship. Load the jolly boat with all the provisions and powder she'll carry.
You men get that bundle of water and get it ordered up. Come on.
Why abandon ship?
Because they're showing their hand. When they come back, they'll come back to board us. They've killed two men already. We're next.
Can't we hold them off?
With these swine at our backs. If we tried to hold that aft cabin, they'd fire the ship. We've got to get ashore to Flint's blockhouse. If that stockade is still standing, we can at least make a fight of it.
Gray! Abraham Gray! We're about to leave this ship. I think you're an honest man. If you want to do your duty, come out and follow me.
As Smollett stands by, his two pistols leveled at the hatch, Abraham climbs out and faces him.
I'm with you, sir.
Good man. Lay aft and help with the boat.
Back on the island, Jim glances over his shoulder as he wends his way among boulders. Facing a steep slope of rock, he cautiously squints upward. A skinny man in tattered clothes skittishly hops down toward him. Jim takes out his pistol as the gaunt, nervous stranger draws nigh. The wretch scratches his tangled white beard and his bush of white hair. Jim cocks the gun.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Who are you?
I'm Ben Gunn. I'm poor old Ben Gunn. And I haven't spoken to a Christian these 3 years.
3 years? Were you shipwrecked?
Nay, mate, marooned. Marooned 3 years ago, and I lived on oysters and berries and goats. Oh, my heart soared for Christian diet.
You mind having to have pieces of cheese about you now?
No,
no,
says you.
Well, says I. Many, many long night I dreamed the cheese. It's toasted mostly. Then I wake up again, and here I was. Well, if I ever get aboard again, you shall have some.
Well, now, what's the hint of you getting aboard now? Well, ain't old Flint's ship, be it?
Oh, no. Flint's dead. But most of his hands are aboard her. Worse luck for us.
Not a one-legged man.
You mean Silver?
If you were sent by Long John, I'm just the same as pork and you know it. But who are the rest you spoke about, matey?
Well, there's Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney and... The captain?
Squires and doctors, says you. Gentlemen born, says
now, I. Livesey calls from the escape boat to the ship.
Have they shown themselves ashore yet?
No! Lively, Doctor, lively!
It's the last trip.
Back with Jim.
After I was on Flint's ship, I was on another ship. That was 3 years back. And we spied this island. Lad, says I, there's where old Flint's treasure's buried. Let's land and find it. 12 days we hunts. Every day they have worse words for me. Till one fine morning, all hands got aboard. As for you, Benjamin Gunn, says eh? You're so sure Flint's treasure's buried here, you can just stay and find it, says he. Now, was that a gentlemanly thing to do, says you?
Did you find it?
That's what your squires and doctors would like to know, says I. Yes, says you.
The bony man playfully flaps his arms, then hunches over and beckons Jim to a cliff overlooking the shore.
Snug in behind that rock, Jim. It's my little skin boat and paddle. As I made it with my own hands. You takes it, paddles out, finds the squire and tells him that Ben Gunn puts each side more confidence, each side, mind you, in gentleman born than gentleman of fortune, and then you nips him on the cheek.
He pinches Jim's cheek.
Why?
And then you tells him that Ben Gunn will meet him on this hill. To come alone with a white thing in his hand.
Upon my word, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'll tell the squire and doctor everything that you said.
Gunn hides behind Jim's back.
They begun to fight.
Under cannon fire, Smollett's party rows away.
Who's the best shot here? Mr. Trelawney, out in the wing. Pick me off on those pirates, if you please, sir.
On deck, the pirates clean the cannon for another round.
Down that ball.
Now the squire fires a musket from the escape boat. A pirate slumps to the deck. As another pirate readies the cannon, Israel takes aim with his own musket and gives a rotten-toothed grin. One of Smollett's men drops.
That's a score, Snowd!
Back with Smollett.
Come on, my buddy, get your oars, Gray. He's gone. We've got to beach this Borishal swamp. Larboard a little.
Israel lights the cannon. The escape boat sinks close to shore.
We're swampy, lad. Hold your musket.
Jim runs towards Smollett's party.
Jim, thank heaven you're safe.
Smollett's men gather supplies.
Abandon that boat.
On the ship, the pirates ready the cannon again. Smollett's party takes cover.
It's them after the cabin blocks.
They're making for the stockade. Come on, lads, head them off.
Belay that, you swabs. They'll shoot you down like a lot of gulls. Get to those gigs and get back to that ship.
Silver's men rush to their boats. Now, Smollett's men carry their supplies into a stockade and close its gate of sharp-tipped logs. Smollett raises the British flag atop the stockade's rugged blockhouse. A nearby palm tree topples.
Shoot away, me lads. That's the way to waste powder.
The flag evidently spots the house for them. Hadn't we better lower it?
Lower the flag? Strike my colors? Not I, sir. We have little provisions, but we've plenty of powder and ball. And by heaven, sir, this spot is England.
Snapping to rigid attention, Smollett salutes the flag. Aboard the Hispaniola, the Jolly Roger is raised, its skull and crossed bones rippling in the wind. Now, at the stockade fence, pirates wave a white flag.
Stockade ahoy!
Inside.
Silver himself!
Eyes peeled, this may be a trick. Doctor, take charge of your watch.
The squire opens the door for Smollett.
Well, what do you want with your flag of truce?
Captain Silver, sir, wants to come aboard to make terms.
Captain Silver? Who's he? I never heard of him.
Silver leans against his crutch and stands.
Me, sir! Me! The poor lads have chosen me their captain since your desertion, sir.
What's your course, Silver?
1 minute's talk with you.
I have no desire to talk with you. If you want to come over here, come. But if there's any treachery, it'll be on your side, and the Lord help you.
That word from you is enough, sir. I knows a gentleman when I lays eyes on him. You can lay to that.
Joyce, take the doctor's place.
Smollett takes Livesey and the squire outside, where Silver hobbles toward them. Jim stands with the armed men. Silver smiles.
Well. Here we are all together again, just like one big happy family.
He smiles at Jim.
Top of the morning to you, Jim. I'd rather you'd sit down, Silver. Sit down and toss away that crutch if you're talking to me.
Leaning on his crutch, Silver lowers himself to the grass, then tosses the crutch aside. Jim frowns.
Come, come, out of the man. What do you want?
We want the treasure. We're going to have it. You want your lives, that's yours. Well, you can have that if you give us Flint's chart.
I'd see you and the whole island blown to blazes first.
Well, that's an idea. You give me the chart, and the moment the treasure's on board, we'll take you along with it. And I'll give you my affidavit upon my word and honor that we'll set you down safe and sound at the first point of civilization.
That's on your word of honor.
My affidavit, gentlemen. And a handsomer one you couldn't hope to look at.
Is that all?
Every last word, by thunder.
Good. Now you hear me. You come back here one by one, unarmed, and I'll guarantee to put you in irons, take you back to England, see to get a fair trial. If you refuse, my name is Alexander Smollett. I've flown my sovereign's colors. And I'll see you all to Davy Jones.
That final?
That's the last good word you'll hear out of me, by heaven. The next time we meet, I'll put a bullet in you. Do you meet my terms?
No.
Then tumble out of here, my lad. Hand over hand, on the double.
Give me a hand up.
I'd sooner touch carrion.
He walks away.
Who'll give me a hand up?
Silver extends his arm to Jim, who starts to move toward him, then stops. Biting his lip, Jim turns his back. Silver scoots on his backside to his crutch.
Before the hour's up, I'll crush your blockhouse like it was a puncheon. Them of you that dies will be lucky.
As Silver turns and leaves, Jim glowers defiantly. Smollett watches Silver limp toward the twine-lashed posts of the fence.
Inside, lads. Clear decks for action. Quarters, all hands. They'll board us in a minute.
Now get over that wall first and don't use your muskets only as a last resort. Morgan, you and yours to the larboard. Job, you and yours to the starboard. Now, by the powers, board them.
Inside the blockhouse, each man arms himself.
Here they come, Captain!
Fire when they top the wall.
Jim takes a drink from a bottle, then spits it out. Outside, the pirates climb the fence. Standing on the top rail, one pirate takes a hit. Inside the blockhouse, Smollett's men fire muskets through round openings in the walls. A pirate falls and dangles from the fence, his foot wedged between the pickets.
Come on out, Jim.
As Jim brings Livesey a loaded musket, a pirate takes a hit. Israel and another pirate make it inside the stockade. Jim brings the squire loaded muskets, takes the spent ones, and rushes back to the table to reload them. Outside, two more pirates drop. Another crouches and fires his musket. Inside, Joyce collapses. Livesey eyes the fallen man, whose forehead is covered in blood.
Trelawney, sir, you're a man.
And you are a captain.
Outside.
Damn you dogfish!
In the blockhouse, Hunter aims his musket through one of the openings. The pirate George grabs the barrel from outside and rams the stock into Hunter's face. Smoke fills outside, the blockhouse.
Outside and fight him. Cutlasses!
Livesey grabs a cutlass and opens the door. As a pirate charges, Livesey kicks him to the ground and shoots him. Meanwhile, Jim runs into a pirate. He pulls the trigger of his pistol, but nothing happens. As the pirate raises his cutlass, Gray kills the scoundrel.
My compliments, Mr. Gray.
Elsewhere in the stockade, Smollett duels with a pirate, fencing with his cutlass. The captain slashes the blackguard's stomach. From atop the stockade fence, Dandy aims his gun. Smollett engages another pirate.
I've been looking for the...
As Smollett runs him through, Dandy fires and wounds the captain.
Inside the house, lads.
He stands.
They've gone.
Clutching his arm, Smollett falls to his knees.
Fire from cover.
Livesey rushes to Smollett's aid.
You crawling squid. You dogfish.
Inside the blockhouse.
Don't mind me, sir. Watch them.
They have turned tail for the moment.
Not here, sir.
Hunter and Joyce are dead, sir.
I taste him. Captain Smollett has a ball in his shoulder.
Jim fetches a wooden box.
God rest Hunter and Joyce.
Amen.
How many did they lose?
Seven.
They've had their rations for today.
Livesey cleans the wound.
Well, that makes them nine against our five, gentlemen.
At night, Gray climbs the stockade fence heading toward the blockhouse.
Fresh a sight more confidence, you said, eh?
Yes, sir.
Here's Gray.
Gray enters.
Well, Gray.
They're all camped down by the swamp, sir. I crept up and heard them. They're like hornets, and Silver's the maddest. It looks like tomorrow will finish us.
What's in the wind?
They're building rafts, sir, and floating the cannon in from the ship in the morning. Silver says he's going to blow this blockhouse to limbo.
That settles it. This Ben Gunn may be our last chance.
Livesey puts aside his pipe.
Sure he's all right in the head.
Well, he's rather silly, sir. He told me to nip the squire.
Nip me? How?
Jim pinches the squire's cheek.
Sir, like this.
A lunatic.
No harm in finding out. I have 2 hours before dawn. I'll haunt that clearing all day. It'll take them all day to get the gun ashore. If they turn up again, I'll be with you, gentlemen.
Godspeed, Doctor.
Good luck, Doctor.
Livesey departs.
What's the doctor up to?
Oh, he thinks this Ben Gunn fella can help us. How's beyond me. Says he, says them, says I, says nothing.
We can't hold out against cannon, Smollett.
If we could only get out there and cut that ship adrift.
Jim listens.
That'll put an end to the cannon. Cut off their base of supplies.
But we've no boat. They're undoubtedly watching the gigs.
I know.
Jim tucks two pistols in his belt.
Our only chance is this Gunn fellow.
The squire sees Jim heading for the door.
Keep near the house, Jim.
Oh, yes, sir. It's just hot in here, sir.
Jim nonchalantly steps outside the blockhouse. Glancing over his shoulder, he steps further into the darkness. The boy glances once again, then runs off. Later, as he creeps toward a boulder on the beach, Jim shoots a cautious look downshore. He moves something from behind the rock. It's Ben Gunn's boat. Jim climbs into the boat and paddles out to the Hispaniola. The windows of the captain's cabin glow in the night.
Make your play, all it says.
At the bow, Jim saws at the ship's anchor rope.
Silver's tangled everything, I tell you. Lost all that drunken cuff and make your play.
I being drunk and Silver's a fool.
You're the fool, Willem. Your face fair makes me bitter for that.
Fool, bitter, eh?
Inside the captain's cabin, William pulls a knife. Israel leaps over the table and tackles him. Outside, Jim cuts through the rope line and, grabbing the dangling end, swings out of the tiny animal skin boat. He starts to climb aboard the ship. In the cabin, Israel fiercely strangles William, then, gaping with confusion, releases his partner's throat. William falls on the table, and Israel rushes to the window.
We're adrift!
William stands up.
Adrift, we be!
As the two pirates rush on deck, Jim ducks into the galley. The pirates run past him toward the bow. Stepping out, Jim reaches for the galley's Dutch door and pulls it shut behind him.
Where's the anchors gone?
Where the horses parted? Up with the dip! We're swinging to the reef!
As the pirates spring into action, Jim slumps against the galley door and rubs his face. He then slides into a shadow, settles back, and checks the pistols in his belt. In the moonlight, the Hispaniola drifts on a calm sea. Now, sunlight awakens Jim, and he sits up on the galley floor. He looks around and slowly gets to his feet. Glancing to and fro, he opens the top half of the Dutch door and peers out. He rubs his eyes and yawns, then squints up at the loose jib, which flaps in the wind. Jim walks on deck, stepping over ropes and empty rum bottles. As he looks around, he sees the Jolly Roger flying at full mast. Israel lies propped up against a pin rail. Jim approaches him. William lies nearby, silent and motionless.
Come aboard, Mr. Hands. Much hurt?
Not the way poor dear Willem be. He won't much of a sailor, was Willem.
Israel blinks groggily at Jim.
Where might you come?
I've come aboard to take possession of this ship, Mr. Hands, and you can regard me as your captain until further notice.
Well, now, Captain Hawkins, and who's the sailor without you get the hint from me?
Well, I...
Now, look here. You give me food and me drink, and a bit of a scarf or a handkerchief to bind up me wound with. and I'll show you how to sail it. Now that's square all round, ain't it?
Done, Mr. Hands.
He eyes the pirate flag.
Now, I can't have these colors, Mr. Hands, and by your leave, I'll strike them.
As Israel watches from the deck, Jim loosens a rope from a pin rail and lowers the flag. Israel frowns and breathes heavily. He glowers at Jim, who wads up the flag in his arms, climbs atop the pin rail, and tosses the pirate colors overboard. Peering at the waters below, Jim snaps to a salute.
God save the king, and there's an end to Captain Silver.
Jim hops to the deck.
How are your wound, Mr. Hand?
Israel watches Jim stride off, then slides himself to a tangle of rope and retrieves a large dagger from within it. He puts the dagger in his belt and scoots back to where he was. As Jim returns with a dressing for the wound, Israel sits still.
I won't be forgetting it for this, Captain Hawkins. And where might we be a-sailing to?
Not back to the anchorage, you can be sure.
No.
I've seen a map of this island. You know a cove called North Inlet?
That I do. It's away north, on the other shore it be.
Well, that's where we're sailing to. I'm going to run her high and dry on the beach, where nobody will be able to find her excepting honest people. Now, does that suit your curiosity, Mr. Hand?
Why, Captain Hawkins, under my present unfortunate circumstances, to a plumb.
He holds up his thumb. Later, the ship's sails are neatly rigged. Jim mans the helm.
Hey, she's headed right now!
Right, Captain. Now lash the wheel and come forward for a close haul on the jib.
Right!
Jim cranks the wheel, then lashes the hand pin steady. The Hispaniola sails landward. As Jim runs from the forecastle down to Israel, the pirate pulls himself to his feet.
What a tiresome voyage!
He gapes at Israel.
Why, you can stand.
And I can walk, too.
He pulls the dagger.
Perhaps you'll be needing a little rest, Captain Hawkins.
Israel lunges, but Jim darts to the port side of the boat and hides. As the Hispaniola skims on a collision course with the beach, Israel spots Jim and brandishes his dagger. The ship runs aground. Jim and Israel tumble across the leaning deck. Jim lands beside a cannon, and a keg rolls against him. Israel lands behind William's body. Jim gets to his feet and runs off. Israel stands and steals after him. At the side of the ship, Jim turns and sees Israel stalking closer. The boy draws his two pistols, aims, and pulls the triggers.
What powder, Captain Hawkins?
Again, Jim runs. Israel flips the dagger in his hand and hurls it. Its blade sticks in the railing inches beside Jim. Jim hoists himself onto the railing and climbs the ratlines up toward the sails. Israel rushes to the railing and grins darkly up at the boy. The pirate yanks his dagger free, clenches it in his teeth, and climbs up after the boy. High above, Jim kneels on a furled sail. Israel advances up the ratlines after him. Now, Jim pulls himself to the topmast stay, sits on it, and loads his pistols. Below, the pirate climbs with his eyes fixed on Jim. The boy readies the flintlocks to fire. Now, Israel freezes and glares up at Jim, who aims the pistols down between his knees.
One more step, Mr. Hands, and I'll blow your brains out. Dead men don't bite, you know.
I reckon you and me'll have to sign articles, Jim. I'd have had you but for that latch there. I don't have much luck, not I. It looks like I'll have to...
He throws the dagger, which lodges in the mast by Jim's head. Jim fires, and Israel falls backwards, plunging into the sea. Jim reaches over his left shoulder and wobbles the dagger from the mast. He tosses it, then examines the slit on his left jacket shoulder. Now, the boy grabs a rope and slides down. He lowers himself hand over hand for most of the descent, then drops free the last few feet. Crossing the sunny deck, he goes to the side of the ship and pulls loose a pin that has more rope lashed to it. Gripping the rope line, he swings out over the side of the ship and lands in waist-high water. Jim wades onto the beach and glances back at the Hispaniola run aground. The ship's mammoth wooden hull, now mostly out of water, stands taller than a house. Later, at twilight, Jim climbs over the wall of the stockade and tramps to the darkened blockhouse. He pats his hands against the crude wooden door.
Dr. Livesey! Dr. Livesey!
Pirates yank him inside.
Well, if it ain't Jim Hawkins!
Dropped in sort of friendly like, eh?
What have you done with my friends? Have you killed them?
Oh, no. Blood spillings all over, Jim.
We signed a treaty, Jim.
Treaty? What kind of a treaty?
Well, we give them their freedom out of here in return for half of their provisions.
But where did they go?
Oh, they just wandered away. But if you're mind of hunting them up, why, you just save your time, Jim, because they don't want to have nothing to do with you.
You're lying.
No, Jim. Why, the squire told me right to my face that you was a deserter. And the doctor? Oh, the doctor said that you was scared.
But they couldn't think that. They wouldn't, not after...
Naturally, I've always wanted you to join up with us and take your share. Now it looks like you'll have to.
Well, supposing I said no.
Jim steps away from Dandy, who's crouched beside him.
Well... Even if you do get the treasure, your ship's lost, your men lost, your whole business gone to wreck. And if you want to know who did it, it was I.
The pirates step back.
You, Jim?
I was in the apple barrel that night and heard you. It was I who cut the ship's hawser and killed those two aboard her. And it was I who took her where you'll never see her again. None of you. So kill me if you want, but the laugh's on my side, and I'll die laughing at the lot of you.
Silver smiles.
I believe you would, matey.
It was him who faked the map from Billy Bones. First and last, we've been fouled by him.
Here he goes.
Silver holds his men at bay with a cutlass.
Be you captain here, Morgan?
Tom's right.
I'm the captain. I say what's right.
I'll be hanged if I'll be hazed by you, John.
You want to have it out with me?
George sheepishly averts his gaze.
That's better, George, Mary. Why, this boy's got more fight in him than the whole of you. I like this boy. And if you understand King George's English, you better not lay a hand on him.
Well, you makes a hash of this cruise. You're a bold man to say no to that.
And second, there's that boy. These aren't a proper killing.
And in the third place, you wouldn't let us attack them all and they on the march.
And fourth, you let the enemy out of this trap for nothing. Oh, we get the stores and the powder, but we didn't get the map, did we? And what do we want here except for the map, I'd like to know?
His men draw their weapons.
Oh, George!
Silver pulls out the folded map and slings it at their feet. George grabs it and shakes it open.
By thunder, it's it!
Look! JF! Prince initials! With a score below and a clovis as the old was signed.
Good
That's
old
Silver! Long John forever!
Aye, Silver!
Hurrah for Silver!
Oh, Captain!
The men spread the map on the floor and huddle around it.
Where'd you get the map?
From Dr. Livesey, matey.
You couldn't have gotten it unless you killed him.
Oh, no. That's part of the bargain, matey. They gets their freedom and we gets the treasure. Will you join me in a bit of fresh air, matey? There's so much stupidity in here that I can't breathe properly. Come on.
Silver takes the parrot and leads Jim outside to a campfire.
Guess that ends everything now that you've got the map.
No, matey. You still got a chance for a share.
No, I thank you. But I want you to know I'm grateful for you defending me.
Jim shuffles his feet.
Now I best go and hunt up my friends. Goodbye.
Here, you better stay here for a spell. Maybe the squire and the doctor have had a little change of heart about you.
Well, yes, but...
Well, I might need you for a hostage. Come on, sit down.
A hostage? What do you need a hostage for? You said you'd made a treaty.
Well, treaties are only good until you find a chance to break them, matey.
That isn't very honorable.
It's smart, Jim. You see what being honorable done for me? I had to show them the map, didn't I?
Why were you keeping it from them?
There's too many of them to share the treasure with. I just trying to figure a way to get rid of about half of them.
Oh, I see. More murder.
Oh, no, not murder. Tactics. I recall taking a prize ship off of Piru once, and there was too many of them to share the treasure with. So Flint and me, we waits till all hands are asleep.
I don't wish to hear about it.
All right, Jim.
As Silver draws on his pipe, Jim cocks his head.
Well, what did you do with him?
Flint, he has a little hammer. So we go around to all the bunks and we get in back of the men and the meat.
Oh, never mind. I don't wish to hear about it.
Oh, all right. It ain't important. We only disposed of 13 men.
Silver spits. Daytime. Outside the stockade.
Black House, ahoy!
Livesey approaches the fence.
What about it, Silver? Have you seen anything of Jim Hawkins? Why?
Here I am, Dr. Livesey!
George grabs him.
Thank heaven you're safe, lad. Let me talk with him, Silver.
No, by the powers. They'll pull a trick.
Ouch, please!
I'll be telling you for the last time, George Merry. You drop his arm.
George complies, and Silver pulls Jim beside him.
You give me your word of honor that you won't slip your cable, Jim?
I do.
Well, all right, then we'll go down and have a yarn with a good doctor.
Dr. Livesey, where did you all go? Why did you give up to them?
All I can tell you now, Jim, is that we're safe and sound. But where did you go, lad? We searched everywhere.
Oh, then you didn't think I had deserted you, sir, and that I was scared?
Well, not a thought of it, lad.
Oh, you said that I said I was scared, that they didn't want me.
Well, matey, I thought it would be easier for you to join up that way.
Oh, I didn't join, sir. Truly, I didn't.
But where did you go, Jim? What?
I ran away to cut the ship's hawser like Captain Smollett wanted. And I have her beached at North Inlet now, sir.
North Inlet, eh?
Float her and get her away from here. Don't mind about me.
Livesey draws a gun.
Quick now, quick, Jim. Whip over the wall and run for it.
No, sir. I passed my word.
What's your word to these scoundrels? Quick, head for cover.
Sir, with my word of honor, no matter whom it's to, I can't break it.
A lad of honor. I counted on that, sir.
Jim, we won't leave this island without you. My word on that. You're going for the treasure now, eh?
There, where we be going.
Well, mark you, Silver. When you find it, prepare for squalls. And if Jim Hawkins here is so much as scratched, there'll be a ball between your eyes that nobody will bother to remove.
Livesey dons his tricorn hat and walks off.
Squalls, matey. Am I off my course and sitting on a water spout?
He strokes his chin.
I'd almost wager.
Later, the pirates scurry inland carrying picks, hammers, and shovels. They come to a skeleton lying on the ground. One pirate studies a brass compass.
East, southeast, 2 points east.
I thought so. Just as the chart says. Why, that's one of the 6 brave lads that Flint killed and laid their bones right in a line with the treasure. There's 5 more of them ahead between us and the doubloons. Forward!
The pirates move on. Later, they hike across a bluff overlooking the sea. They stop.
Darby McGraw! That's him, I tell you. I've heard Flint call it Darby 100 times.
Flint McGraw!
Them was his last words above board. That's it. I'm done.
As his men cower, Silver strokes his chin.
Where might I hear that voice afore?
Nobody but us on this island knows them words. That's Flint's spirit.
Nothing but flesh and blood can talk. I was never afeard of Flint alive, and ain't scared to face him dead. Come on if you're coming.
Silver leads his men farther up the mountain path.
There it be, mates. Right in the clearing there.
That is, mates, all together.
They eagerly rush to a pit in the clearing. Looking into it, they see an open chest toppled among the plants on the rocky slope.
Why, there's nothing there at all.
Nothing, Jim.
We've been out sailing.
Silver gives Jim a pistol.
Here, Jim. Take that and stand by for trouble.
2 guineas.
A pirate finds 2 coins.
That's just 700,000 pounds, is it?
Why don't you dig a little bit deeper, lads? Maybe you'll find radishes and turnip.
It's only an old cripple and a boy. Let's settle it.
In the bushes, Livesey and his men fire muskets. Ben Gunn aims one, too. As the pirates run, Silver fires, and one pirate drops between 2 other bodies. Jim gets off a couple of shots as well.
That'll hold him for good and all, Gray.
What? Dr. Livesey, where did you come from? How did you happen
to be... We thought we'd be useful, Jim.
Look, sir, there's no treasure at all. We've come all this way and everybody's been killed for nothing. Upon my word, sir, I don't understand it.
Well, don't try, Jim. We'll go up to Ben Gunn's cave. Maybe old Ben's got another trick in his beard.
Beard? Cave?
Livesey faces Silver.
Upon my word, sir.
Thank ye kindly, Doctor, and quite a squall it were. By the powers, that voice.
Silver gapes at Gunn.
So it be you, Ben Gunn.
How do you do, Mr. Silver? Pretty well, I thank you, says you.
Ben, to think as you've done me.
Gray, lead the way with Jim. March, Silver. You'll find us how you've been done by everybody.
Taking Silver's weapons, Livesey follows the group to a cave where Smollett sits with his arm in a sling.
Well, have you had enough action, my lad?
No, thank you.
Keep going.
Jim stops and gapes.
Why, bless my soul!
Strolling past treasure, he drops his musket. Chests full of gold and jewels sit open beside trumpet-necked urns, stacked bullion, and a huge mound of coins.
Upon my soul, how did it all get here?
Ben Gunn crouches by him.
All found and carried up here with my own hands, says I. Very thoughtful, says you.
And you can be full of cheese from now on, says I.
Yes, says you.
Yes, says I.
They pinch each other's cheeks. Silver sifts coins through his fingers and tries to pocket some.
Be it all here, Ben Gunn? You don't be holding out any on us now, be you?
Mr. Silver, says
Gray
I.
Smacks the coins from Silver's hand.
Silver!
Aye, aye, sir.
He approaches Smollett.
Well, Captain, I reports back to duty. Me and Jim played a powerful trick on him.
Smollett and the squire glare.
Now that we all have the treasure, why, we're all one big happy family.
We've got the treasure.
We.
You're going back to stand trial in England for mutiny and murder, my man.
Look, Jim, rubies with fire in them.
Them's pretty harsh measures. Pretty strong medicine, Captain, for just a little infraction of the rule.
Not nearly so harsh or strong as the rope I hope to see you hanging from at execution dock. You're under arrest, Silver.
Jim looks on, teary-eyed. Later, the ship sails, leaving the pirates marooned.
We'll starve!
You had your chance, my friends.
We'll pick up a new crew at Jamaica.
Later, at night, a sailor on the Hispaniola waves a lantern.
Did the frigate answer our signal?
She says, come aboard. Hampton commanding.
Good. Ben Gunn, stay alert now. We want no strange craft alongside.
Aye, sir.
Ah, a British ship of the line. And tomorrow we may have the pleasure of seeing Silver hanging to a yardarm.
As Smollett and his party disappear below deck, Jim sadly drops his head and sits. Resting his jaw on the heel of his hand, he stares straight ahead. Further down the deck, Ben Gunn scratches his head while sitting on the floor, gnawing on a large wheel of cheese. He then reaches for another block of cheese at his feet. Meanwhile, behind bars, Silver takes a lantern from a hook in one corner of his cell, skulks across the cubicle, and drops to his knee. He moves a barrel and a crate aside, revealing a hole in the splintered wall. Glancing furtively over his shoulder, he pulls a knife from his belt and shaves the edge of the hole. Later, his lantern, then his crutch, precede him through the hole, which is now large enough for his stocky torso. Inside the neighboring hold, gold coins lie on the floor along with piled money bags. Using his crutch, Silver knocks several bags from the stack and draws them close. On deck, Jim shuffles along with a dejected frown. Back in the cell, Silver's parrot sits perched on his shoulder as the pirate puts one money bag under his shirt, then another. He ties a third to his belt under his knee-length coat. He closes his coat snugly as Jim comes down the stairs with a dark bottle in hand. The boy brings the bottle over to Silver's cell.
Well, Jim, do you come to take old John aloft for a breather?
No, I fetched you this instead.
Thank you, matey. That I ain't much for spirits.
Silver puts the bottle aside.
I thought you might like to start and drink a lot of it.
Why?
Well, doesn't everybody? I mean, before they're hanged?
Hanged? Maybe?
They all went over to a frigate that's lying here, and they're not going to wait till we get back to England. Captain says we can hold a naval trial tomorrow, and the squire says we can see you swinging from her yardarm.
That ain't just exactly a breather, be it, Jim?
I'm sorry. Truly, I am.
Silver rubs his lip.
You say they all went over?
No, they left Ben Gunn on watch.
Silver's eyes dart toward the stairs, then back to the boy.
Well, Jim, I guess you'll have to stand on deck and watch me swing.
I can't bear the thought of it. Of you, of anybody.
Oh, we won't think about that, Jim. You just dies and that's that. Quite often, though, not as quick as people think, Jim.
Why not?
Well, you take my case as it were. Now, there I'll be. Way out on that yardarm, way out there with a rope around my neck. And then they gives the orders to jump. And when the average man jumps and reaches the end of that rope, snaps his head around, way around like that.
He twists his neck to the limit.
That's the average man. But of course with me, it's a little bit different with my one leg. You see, I'd be kind of off balance, and if they didn't get that noose just right there, why, I'd probably just slowly strangle and choke, just so I didn't swallow my tongue. But that very rarely happens, Jim, swallowing the tongue.
Stop!
Jim snatches the keys from his belt and unlocks the chain that holds the cell door shut. He steps inside.
There. I don't know how you get by Ben Gunn, but you're free from here at least.
That's my matey. If ever the day comes that I can help you, why, I'm going to...
Silver struggles to get up.
What's the matter?
Silver falls down.
I guess you'll have to help me up, matey. Jim, it's my rheumatism. This place is damp in here.
Jim grabs him around his middle.
No. I'm ticklish under my arm.
Silver strains to his feet with Jim on one side and his crutch on the other.
Thank you, matey. Thank you. Where's Ben Gunn?
Sitting up by the mizzenmast on guard.
You run aft and get me a pistol.
No, there'll be no blood spilled in this.
Oh, no, not for Ben Gunn. Why, I can talk with Ben. He and me are old shipmates. Just for protection on shore, you know. It's a wild place, Jamaica.
Oh, all right.
Silver watches Jim go, then glances sharply toward the stairs. Facing the cell, he picks up the bottle by the neck and tests its weight and balance. Silver's eyes fix on the stairs, and he hobbles forward on his crutch. On deck, Ben Gunn cradles the rind at the cheese wheel and reaches for a scrap at his feet. Silver emerges from a hatch, plods to the ship's railing, and eyes the ragged watchman. He removes a large wooden peg from the pin rail and hefts its weight. With the bottle in one hand and the peg in the other, Silver limps toward Ben Gunn. The ragged man nibbles the cheese rind with his back to Silver. The one-legged pirate purses his lips and squints his eyes as he lines up the peg over Ben Gunn's head. He delivers a quick, sharp blow. Gunn's eyes close and he slumps over. Silver opens the bottle and pours rum over the dazed man lying sprawled on his side. He then sets the bottle by Ben Gunn's head. Now, Jim arrives with a pistol and sees Gunn collapsed on deck.
But I told you, you mustn't.
Oh, now ain't that terrible? He's left a guard ship and there he lays in a drunken stupor.
But he's an awful large bump on his head.
Well, he must have got that when he fell off of there and hit the deck with his head.
Silver takes the pistol.
Ain't that too bad?
As Silver turns and tramps along the deck, Jim glances curiously at Ben Gunn, then follows the pirate. Facing each other, they lean on the railing.
Well, matey.
Silver extends his hand.
What old Long John's got to tell you, he don't know how to say it. I don't mean that you'll be forgiving me all the bad things that I've done, but just for the mateys that we might have been.
Jim shakes his hand.
You won't be a pirate anymore, will you? Or you won't steal?
No, sir. From now on, my course is going to be a straight, honest one. So help me. Why, shiver my timbers.
As he slaps his thigh, a bag drops from his belt. Gold coins lie spilled on the deck. As Silver's eyes shift awkwardly, the parrot eyes him. Jim sadly looks at Long John, then picks up the bag of gold.
Well, now I'm glad that happened, lady. That's just what I was trying to tell you, and I didn't know how. I cut through the bulkhead into where the treasure was and took out just one sack of gold.
But you promised you wouldn't.
Well, I took that before I promised. But it's off my conscience now, and the Lord knows my conscience won't stand any more, matey.
Well, here, you may need it.
No, thanks.
But you have to buy food.
Oh, that's all right, Jim. I'll get along all right. I'll get along all right.
Silver hoists himself over the railing, then smiles at Jim.
Well, matey.
Silver holds his hand to the parrot on his shoulder. The bird steps onto his fingers, and Silver hands his pet to Jim.
Here.
The parrot steps onto the boy's shoulder.
Feed her good. And put her down below decks when any women around, huh?
I will. I promise I will.
Oh, believe that. Don't do that. Our courses will cross again sometime.
Silver wipes his nose.
Now, looky now. Now, you didn't get all of that bar silver on that island, now, did you? Well, who knows? Maybe someday you'll have a great big ship, bigger than this one, and you'll go down there and get the rest of that treasure now, won't you?
Jim nods.
And you might be needing a mate or a captain, huh?
I guess so.
All right. And who do you think would come hobbling along for that berth but old Long John Silver? It'd be honest Long John then. And together, we'd go down there and dig up that treasure and we'd scour all the seas for all the treasures on those islands.
As Jim nods, smiling tearfully, Silver lowers himself away.
And we'd hunt goats and fight camels.
The old pirate sits in a waiting jolly boat, and Jim smiles at his friend. Silver puts the oars into the water.
It's true, matey. Certain we will.
Leaning on the railing with tears in his eyes, Jim waves.
Certain we will.
Jim wipes his nose. Silver grins and rows across the moonlit water. Again, Jim gives a little wave. The parrot stands on his other hand. As Silver smiles and waves back, Jim waves once more. Fade to black. Words appear. The end. The ghosted image of the NRA logo reappears.